we might as well just go on and say amen one more time. And since you are at it, you might as well just say praise the Lord. And somebody might just shout hallelujah. I've seen his power. Amen. I know I'm favored. Praise God. There is nothing like a northern blend in the south. My Lord, today is a good day. I want to extend my appreciation to Pastor Chetty and Pastor Fleming for having me taking up this responsibility today. I do not take this lightly. When you're asked to speak to God's people, it is no simple task. I want to extend my appreciation to you to sit there and listen to me when you have no idea what I'm going to say. God is good. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9, and I begin reading at verse 14. Please open your Bibles. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. The Bible says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it sees him, he throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnash his teeth, and become rigid. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Let us pray. Eternal Father, your people come to you today. We come here because you invited us to come. And so, dear Father, from experience, whenever you invite us, you bless us. So today, Lord, we have great expectation. So now, Lord, as we wait before you, we ask that you will turn off every distraction and help us that we ourselves will not be distraction to others, but that we all will receive everything that you have in store for us. Let your will be done. Let your spirit move in this place. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to us on the subject, answering the call. Answering the call. Happy New Year's, Great Lakeview. I almost call you Grandview. Thank you so much. I'm going to need this. You see, We say Happy New Year. But I've already noticed that this year is going to be a challenge for the people of God. I want you to get that. This year is going to be a challenge for the people of God. If you haven't already noticed that the universe is shifting, then you need to start praying so that God will open your eyes so that you will be ready to meet whatever challenge this year will throw at you. No more than any other time. No more than any other time, saints of God, in human history, the world is begging for servants of God who are fully committed and fully connected. The North American Division set aside 10 days for prayer. Some of us will not participate in it for whatever reason. Some of us will participate out of duty. You know, it's my church, and I have to support the program of the church. A few of us will see this as very necessary for our survival as a body and for us to perform the work of God. Today is set aside in preparation for these 10 days of prayer. Today is set aside as a day devoted to prayer. Some of us, again, started out and we ushering the Sabbath last evening with prayer and fasting. To that I say, praise the Lord. Some of us will not participate in this prayer and fasting. I stand here not in judgment to say whether you are right or wrong, whether you decide to fast and pray today or whether you will fully participate in the 10 days of prayer. The call is not mine to make. However, I feel like since I'm standing here today, right now, I have a responsibility to ask us to ponder this question. What if prayer is more important than we make it out to be? What if prayer is more important than we make it out to be? Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 17, that my house shall be called, must be called, a house of prayer. I don't think it's by chance why Jesus chose prayer as opposed to anything else that happened in the house of God. He never said that my house will be called the house of preaching. He never said my house will be called the house of singing. And watch this. Singing is very important to ministry. As Psalm 100 said, enter into his courts with singing and with praise. But Jesus, when it was his time to make a bold statement, he said, my Father's house must be called the house of prayer. How often do we pray? A few years ago, Terry, my wife, and I, we made a purchase on the internet. And we were expecting our purchase to be delivered to our house. But we got a call from the UPS office saying that our purchase was at their office to be picked up. I don't know exactly why we were going to pick up our purchase rather than they delivering it, but I remember that we threw our daughter, Sanaya, she was a baby at the time, we threw her in the car seat, and we got into our CRV, and we made the trip from Douglasville to College Park to pick up our purchase. We got to the UPS office, and the guy there, he was very kind to help us to put our new toy in the back of our CRV. On the way back, we were on the freeway, and we were making our way home. Everything was going great until I looked down at my gas gauge. And when I looked at the gas gauge, I saw an orange light. That light had been on for a while. My needle was literally below the mark that says empty. I was running out of gas. Anybody here running out of gas? You see, saints of God, we can be going on with business as usual. We are chugging along. We're doing our own thing. Everything looks normal in our lives. But the truth is, we might be running out of gas. You're trying to maintain the relationship, but you're running out of gas. You're at your last semester before you graduate college, and you're taking your classes, and you're studying, and you're getting up early in the morning, and you're staying up late, and you're at that point where you are running out of gas. You're doing your very best to hold on, but somewhere, somehow, you are running out of gas. And the problem when you're running out of gas, sometimes you notice it when you're almost empty, when you're running and on fumes. And so I looked at my needle, and then I looked up at the sign on the freeway because I desperately needed to find an exit. But the sign told me that my nearest exit was about 5 miles away. And then at that point is where you start talking to the car. Come on, come on, come on. We got to make it. Come on, don't fail on me now. Come on, come on. Let's do it. But the problem, cars don't speak human language. And so as we chug along, I felt my car give a little jerk. and then another. And by this time, I was halfway on the exit. And I'm like, come on, come on, come on. Don't let me down. And my car did let me down. It stopped right there. And wives do what they always do. Why didn't you put gas in the car? I don't know why I didn't put gas in the car. All I know is that I was excited to pick up my new toy. And I just wonder if sometimes as Christians we become so caught up in the excitement and the distraction of life that we have forgotten to follow it up. Can I talk to the saints of God today? You see, let me just ask you one more time. Let me ask you my original question one more time. What if prayer is more important than we make it out to be? What if prayer is not just a matter of formality for Christians that sometimes the church say, let us pray? What if prayer means more than that? What if prayer is really, indeed, truly your lifeline to Jesus Christ? What if you cannot make it without prayer? What if your only connection between you and God Almighty is prayer? What if prayer is more important than we make it out to be? The Bible says in Mark 9 that Jesus took his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up into the mountain. And he left the other 9 disciples to carry on business as usual. And may I remind us that business as usual for the Christians is feeding the hungry, caring for the poor, healing the sick, comforting the comfortless, speaking hope into people. He left the other disciples down there at the foot of the mountain to carry on with business as usual. But when Jesus got back from the top of the mountain, as Jesus, Peter, James, and John descend from the mountain to rejoin the disciples, they saw something strange happening. They saw a crowd and what seemed like arguing and shouting and a commotion that did not make sense to Jesus. And so Jesus asked the question, what's going on? What's happening? And somebody answered and said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't heal him. I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't heal him. Let me put this in context. Because in chapter 6, remember, we're in Mark chapter 9 right now. But in Mark chapter 6, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent his disciples 2 by 2 into villages, teaching and Jesus empowered them to do the work that he called them to do. And they went out preaching and teaching and healing the sick and casting out demons. Chapter 6. In fact, the Bible said in Luke that the disciples says that even demons were subjected to us. In Mark chapter 6, the disciples are creating all kinds of miracles. So we know that this was not the first time Jesus left them by themselves to carry on the work of God. But here we are, the disciples find themselves standing in front of a father with a demon-possessed boy, and they could not do anything for him. What happened? Did they run out of gas? We know that the disciples have the power to cast out demons. We know that because the Bible said they did it. We know that Jesus gave them power because the Bible said that Jesus gave them power. But for some reason, they find themselves failing to answer the call that Jesus fully expected them to answer. I don't know about you, but I want to make an application here. Because when Jesus left this earth, Jesus said, "You will receive power. Lakeview will receive power. And you will be my witnesses in Powder Springs, in Austell, and in Dallas, and to the uttermost part of Georgia." And it wasn't talking about singing on Sabbath morning. It wasn't talking about just preaching from the pulpit. In fact, it was talking about more than preaching. It was talking to us about 2020, when our world will be so chaotic, when people will be hurting. You see, I don't know if you have seen it, but people are approaching the followers of Jesus Christ, expecting them to deliver the goods that Jesus gave them to deliver. People are approaching the followers of Christ Jesus, expecting us to have power to change their lives. But sometimes we walk by and people who are literally demon-possessed, we look at them and we think that this is normal life. We think that, you know, it's just the way the world is these days. But I want to tell you that there is nothing normal about people being strung out on drugs. I want to tell you that there is nothing normal about a young man fathering many children with no intention to take care of them. I want to tell you that there is nothing normal about those generational curses that we are seeing. I want you to understand that the poverty and the homelessness that we are looking at in our world today, there is nothing, absolutely nothing normal about this. And so as we live in this world and we see this and people come to us and they tell us about their problems and tell us about their situations, sometimes the best we can do to them is tell them, you know what? I'm going to say a word of prayer for you. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with saying a word of prayer. So don't you leave here and say that the preacher said you should not say a word of prayer. But I want you to understand that the situations that people face in this world, they are real. And I want you to understand that and recognize situations for what they are. Because we are confronted with demons on every side. Demons of all forces. They are demons of unidentified diseases. Demons of depression and demons of generational cycles. Demons of identity crisis. Demons of poverty and demons of hopelessness. And as people come to the church with these demons, they're expecting us to deliver them from the stronghold of Satan. But sometimes, like the disciples, they discover that we are powerless. The question is, why are we powerless? Why are we powerless? Jesus said, "Bring the boy to me. And Jesus commanded the spirit in verse 26 to leave the boy. And the demon obeyed Jesus Christ. I said the demon obeyed Jesus Christ. Praise God for open access to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody today that there is open access to Jesus Christ. I don't care what your situation is. There is open access to your Savior. I want somebody who is feeling hopeless to know that there is an open access to Jesus Christ. I want someone who is feeling as if the news from the doctor is your last chance. I want you to know that there is open access to Jesus Christ. I want somebody who is facing that crisis in your relationship to understand that there is open access to Jesus Christ. I want somebody who are concerned about our children. I prayed for that boy and I prayed for that girl and it seemed like nothing is happening. I want you to know that today there is open access to Jesus Christ. I want you to know that your finances might not be going the way you want it to go. There is open access to Jesus Christ. I know the pain that you're feeling emotionally. There is open access to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, bring the boy to me. There is no demon too big that Jesus Christ cannot command to go. There is no demon too violent that Jesus cannot stop. There is no chain too strong that Jesus cannot break. There is an open access to Jesus Christ for you today. But I want to point something out also, that just because there's an open access to Jesus Christ, this is no excuse, no green light for complacency by the people of God. Even though Jesus Christ healed the boy that the disciples could not heal, the disciples recognized that there is a problem. The disciples recognized that they failed. Yes, Jesus is working miracles in and out of people's life, in our district, in our communities. But the truth is, if I am not functioning the way that God expects me to function, I should see a problem with it. And so the disciples, they saw their failure. They saw that they had a problem. And they wanted to know what was going on. Church of the living God, it is important for us to search within ourselves and see and understand when we are disconnected from the power of God. If I'm not connected to the power, I should know why I'm not connected. And so the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we heal the boy? Church of the living God, consider it strange. Please, consider it strange when people come here week after week in their sadness, and they leave with their sadness. Consider it strange when people come seeking deliverance, but they still go back home in bondage. Consider it strange when I cannot pray over your relationship and things start changing. Consider it strange when I cannot pray for your children and you see the change happening. Consider it strange because it's not normal for the people of God to have no power. It's not normal for the people of God to speak to demons, and demons stare at you as if you're not saying anything. It's not normal for the church of God to live in bondage. So we should be asking like the disciples, why can't we do it? So the disciples said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus replied, I want you to catch this. Verse 29, Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Jesus replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. This kind comes out only by prayer. Another version said by prayer and fasting. I want us to catch this because there are some things that we're gonna accomplish by coming to church or dressed up knowing the 28th. There are some things we're gonna accomplish by that. There are some things we're gonna accomplish by making it to Sabbath school, and there are some things that we will accomplish by being good deacons and good deaconesses and good elders and even good pastors. Oh yes, we will even gain a good reputation in the community. But I want us to understand, Church of the Living God, if we are gonna make impact in our community, if we are gonna rescue the perishing, if we're gonna care for the dying, if we're gonna change the lives of people, the Bible said this kind can only come out by prayer. So what if prayer is more important than we make it out to be? You see, there's a call that we must answer. And I want you to understand this. I want you to catch this. I'm going to appeal to the messenger that God gave to our church. She said, the promise is made on condition that united prayer of the church are offered, and in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a power greater than that which comes in answer to private prayer. Do you catch that? It's good that I am praying in my closet. It's good that you are praying in your small corner. It's good that you believe that your spirituality is an individual thing. I believe that everyone must answer to God for his and her own self. But I want us to understand that God established this church because there are some things that one person cannot do. If I could do it by myself, we would need a church. And so God established the church as a body, and some things will only be accomplished when we come together as a body and we pray for the power of God to be outpoured on us. Do you think I'm joking? When Joshua was fighting the Philistines, Joshua was down there doing well, and Moses was at the top of the mountain holding up his hand. But Moses' hand got tired, and Moses' hand fell down. Joshua was still doing his best, but the moment Moses' hand fell down, Joshua and his army started to lose the battle. And Aaron went and said, okay, let me hold Moses' hand up. And the moment Aaron started holding Moses' hands up again, Joshua started winning the battle again. I want you to understand that God expects his people to be blessed together. In fact, we talk about, you know, and my salvation is an individual thing. I don't want to make it to heaven by myself. I'm not comfortable that the church that I worship with is lagging behind when I am running a marathon in front of them. I'm not satisfied with that. And if you're satisfied with that, there is a problem with that. When Jesus was leaving this earth, I wrap this thing up. Jesus was about to pour out his Holy Spirit so that the church could move this thing forward. And when I say this thing, I mean the gospel, the good news of salvation, the deliverance message, the message that gives us victory over strongholds, the message that gives us power to stand up against Satan. And Jesus invited his disciples up into the up in the upper room and tell them, you just wait here. Wait here for the power of God. And in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that they were there praying, united, powerfully, dedicated. As they were praying, the Bible tells us that heaven opened up and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, outpoured like a rushing mighty wind and fall on the disciples. As a church, we are hoping for the power of God to pour out on us. There's one too many young person going on drugs. There's one too many young lady getting pregnant out of wedlock. There's one too many marriages has been breaking up. There's one too many backslider in our community. There's one too many person who don't believe in Jesus Christ. So there's no time for us to say, I don't have time to pray. Now is the time for us to say, you know what? I want that Holy Ghost power. I want that Holy Ghost power to be open, to be poured out on us so that we can do the work that God has called us to do. Today's week of prayer. Today's a day of prayer. And there's no thing called prayer without praying. That's an oxymoron, right? There's no thing called prayer without praying. So I want you to listen to me, saints of God. And I'm going to ask you my original question one last time. What if, think about it this time, what if prayer is more important than we make it out to be? What if me making it into the kingdom of God depends on my prayer life? What if that is for real? What if? 478 in our church hymnal, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. As the praise team come and lead that for us, I want us to ponder the importance of prayer. I want us to ponder this. And I want us to, I know we're busy. I know we got stuff to do. I know that there are going to be distractions. Like me with my CRV getting stopped. I had every intention to make it home. I had every intention to make it home with no stalling on the road. But the fact that I did not refuel prevent me from do that. You might have every intention to make it home. You might have every intention to be powerful. You might have every intention to cast out demons. You might have every intention to pray and get results. But have you refueled? Are you running out of gas? We have sweet hour of prayer. This is beautiful. Let's sing Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Thy wings.
Thy wings shall my petition bear.
To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. Jesus is waiting to bless you right now. And since he bids us, believe his word, his words are true. And just trust his grace. Going to sing the last stanza very prayerfully. And what we're going to do here, I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite Pastor Fleming to pray the very final prayer, a blessing on the congregation. And at this time, I want you to think. I want you to think in your heart of hearts. What is it that get between you and your sweet hour of prayer? Because I want to tell you, saints of God, we are not going to make the final leg of this race unless we are praying. It is impossible for a powerless Christian to fight the snares of Satan. And a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. We are blessed that we have wise leaders who set aside time for us to come together as a church and pray and refuel ourselves. So let's make the use of it. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our thoughts are lifted heavenward. We are going to pray. If you want that power from Jesus Christ today, just raise your hand right where you are. Say, Lord, I want that power. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm just wondering if somebody just want to, if you really mean this, if you really mean this, if you really want to be that powerful Christian that make a difference in this world, just follow your hand and come on up here as we pray together. God bless you. God bless you. God's people coming. Come on down. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Your people are before you. We know that there is a call that we must answer. We know that we are living in a world where sometimes we ask ourselves the question, do people still understand that there is a God? Dear Lord, sometimes we look around us and we ask, where is God? But we remember that you did tell us that we will be your witnesses. People will know that there is a God through the works that we are doing. So, dear Father, we come before you on this day of prayer. We are opening our hearts and our souls. We are recommitting ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, whatever distraction is there, we ask that you will remove it. Wherever there is doubt, Lord, we ask that you will give us faith. Wherever there is discouragement, we ask that you will encourage us. Whatever it takes for us to understand that it is at utmost importance that we stay connected with you, we ask that you will show us. This minute, Lord, right now, I pray that you will touch every believer's heart. Lord, as we get ready for these 10 days, we pray that our lives will never be the same. Our church will never be the same. Our communities will never be the same. Our families will never be the same. We pray that the power that will happen here in this building will go into our homes, in our streets, in our schools, in our marketplaces, and bring forth the deliverance that you intend. Let your will be done in this place, Heavenly Father. It's in your name we pray. Don't go anywhere. Pastor Fleming is going to pray.
Father, we have lifted up our hearts in prayer to you this morning. And we want to thank you for hearing our prayer, for communicating to us, and for accepting our plea.
Yes, yes.
Now, dear Father, we know that it's your mercies are extended to us. And we reach out in faith and lay hold and grab it. Help us, Lord, to empty ourselves of selfishness so that you can empower us to do your bidding. In this year, 2020. Lord, help us that as we go through this year to talk to you as we talk to a friend, to keep that communication open. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. And we leave here with that determination that you have heard, that you have answered. And we leave here knowing that you are with us, that you will see us through this year. Whatever obstacles may come our way, whatever trials may come our way, whatever temptation may come our way, together with you, we will overcome. Empower us. Make us bold to meet whatever comes, and that your name will be glorified in this year is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated.